Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and as you know, if you're a regular listener, our mission is preventing abortion and helping those whom it hurts. And one of the ways that we do this, one of the primary ways that we fulfill our mission of saving lives and healing hearts, is telling stories and sharing how following faith and exercising love really makes the difference when there's an unintended pregnancy or when there has been an abortion. And I think the story that you're going to hear on this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio is quite unique. We've heard similar stories when families face a poor prenatal diagnosis. It can be extremely difficult. Families can easily lose hope, not know where to turn, and worse, they may feel even pressured by medical professionals to terminate a pregnancy. And when you are faced with that situation, defying medical odds, having faith, moving forward at risk to mom's life, these things are such difficult decisions. And until you have walked a mile in someone's shoes, you cannot know the panic that couples may face. So we're going to talk with Kirk Barker. And he and his wife went through a season like this and didn't really even have the benefit of faith walking into it, if I'm correct about that. Kirk is the founder of the ministry and pro-life organization called Cameron's Chance. And, Kirk, thank you for joining us to share your story here on Cradle My Heart.
Thank you, Kim, for having me on your program.
So, as I understand it, when you and your wife got pregnant, you were not a person of faith. You were someone who was rocking along in life and not really thinking much about God or things of the Spirit at all. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you bringing that point up because, as you saw in our video that you've seen, I was a non-believer most of my life. I turned my back on God. I denied God. And then one day God showed me I was wrong. And it was almost 15 years ago now. When my wife was pregnant with our son, she became very sick. She lost 42 pounds in 1 month, was hospitalized most of that time. And eventually the doctors gave us no other alternative but to terminate the pregnancy or she would die.
How far along was she at that point?
About a month, month and a half into her pregnancy. She just started getting sick just a few weeks into it, and I believe she got, started getting sick around the end of December, beginning of January, in 2001, 2002, and she was hospitalized for most of the month in January.
Mm. So, do you think it's fair to say that all of your faith was being placed in the medical profession, in the people that were caring for your wife? And her name is Chas?
Yes. Her name is Chastity, but she goes by Chas for short. And, yes,
sure.
Correct. We listened to what the doctor said. He's, you know, the medical professional. And my wife spent several weeks in the hospital. And, you know, when they tell you this, hey, you know, there's nothing else that we can do. If you don't terminate the pregnancy, you're going to die. You know, that's what we were really going with because he's been a doctor for many years.
Sure. And so was it hyperemesis? I know we've talked with people who have suffered that condition where you simply cannot stop vomiting. It's just your system becomes very depleted, and it is life-threatening in some cases. But was that the diagnosis that Chas was faced with?
I believe that was the term that was used. My wife could better answer that, but I believe that is correct.
And so she's facing a lot of weight loss. She's facing a medical team that's baffled and can't come up with any kind of a remedy other than you have to terminate. We have to sacrifice this child for mom's health. And so talk about the emotion of making that decision.
It was very difficult because, you know, I'm sitting there with the lady that I love. You know, don't want to see her in, you know, this condition or get even worse. You know, we don't want to see her dying, but then we also have to choose, you know, this is our son. You know, how does one choose to sacrifice your child for the health of another person? And it weighed very heavy on our hearts. And to this day, it's still, it's difficult for us that we made the decision to terminate our son, and we struggled. And to say that it was an easy decision, it definitely was not. That was something, you know, we sat down and talked about and asked the doctor questions, and it was not something that we wanted to be faced with.
How about family members, friends? Did you have a support system that helped you think through that decision?
Yes, my father-in-law, well, he soon was later a father-in-law, but my wife's father was there with us, and he was asking the doctor questions, too. If they go through with this procedure, will it affect the chance of having kids? Are there any negative health effects that could come out of this? And the doctor just pretty much said, no, you know, it's no big deal.
So with hearts wrenched, you made the decision, signed what you felt to be your child's death certificate, really, as I've heard Chas say it. And so what happened then on the way in to do that and to have that procedure taken care of?
Sure. We got the procedure all set up and went to the abortion clinic that day. And I thank God for the pro-life supporter that he put on the sidewalk. I know some people call them protesters. In my opinion, they're not protesting anything. They're just sharing God's message of love, that every child is a blessing. And as we were approaching the clinic, they pleaded with us not to go through with the procedure. And, you know, at that point, my wife could, you know, barely even stand up. You know, her best friend and I were pretty much on each side of her, helping her walk in. And we explained to this person what was going on, and they just apologized and, you know, said, we'll pray for you. And they did, but we continued on anyway. And we had the paperwork in our hands, and right before we signed what we call the death certificate to our son, God intervened, and my wife looked at me and said, I don't care if I die. I'm not going to kill our son. And we got up and walked out. And 2 weeks later, God healed my wife, and today we have an awesome 14-year-old son. So, you know, praise God.
Wow. So she changed her mind. I mean, this had been her decision, or, I mean, tell me about what happened. How did she change her mind? I know there was prayer involved, but what happened?
Just God's intervention is all I can really say. God placed that awesome individual on the sidewalk to, you know, speak with us, to pray with us, and, you know, talking to them really helped make that decision for my wife. As to what changed her mind to get up and want to walk out, all I can really say is, you know, just, you know, God's intervention. I think if that person was not on the sidewalk that day, this story would have a completely different outcome.
So tell me about that conversation. When you say that they're not protesters, it sounds like, were they holding signs? Describe the scene, because I'm sure you were surprised to see them on your way into that appointment.
Yes, we've never, you know, dealt with anything like this before. It's not, you know, something that we typically did. You know, we weren't ever to an abortion clinic, never really been by one. Didn't even know this place was there. And also, we didn't really even know about, you know, sidewalk advocates or, you know, the people that are on the sidewalk. But this person was standing there with the image of a, you know, a baby in a womb. And just, you know, plead with us, hey, you don't have to do this. You know, please think it through. And that's when we immediately told them how sick my wife was and, you know, what she was going through. And and they just offered prayer. I don't remember the words that they prayed, but, you know, we continued on in anyway. And that conversation really, you know, really weighed heavy on my wife's heart, and she started breaking down in tears, and, you know, we were in there just for a few minutes, and then we came back out. So,
you know, I know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, finish your thought, please.
I attribute this whole story, like I said, it's a powerful story about God's grace and how he took this heart of stone and made it what it is today. And, you know, he placed that person on the sidewalk to, you know, intervene and offer those words of prayer. And
Kirk Barker is our guest, and he's founded the ministry Cameron's Chance, which is a reflection of the decision that his wife made at the last minute to stop and not go through with a medically advised abortion for her son Cameron, who is now how old? How old is Cameron now, Kirk?
He just turned 14 a little over a week ago.
And how is he? Is he healthy and well?
Oh, yeah, very smart, intelligent kid. He just entered ninth grade when he was 13 years old, turned 14 here in September. You know, very smart individual, all pre-AP classes going into his freshman year. He's already got, you know, over halfway to being a sophomore at the age of 14. Played soccer for 9 years. About the only health issue that we have is just really bad allergies.
Sound like a proud papa. That's awesome, Kirk. Well, so, but tell me about the rest of the pregnancy. I mean, it's one thing to say, I don't care if I die, I'm not going to kill my son, but then to have to walk that out and get through that pregnancy. Did you return to the same doctor that had advised for the abortion?
No, we found a different doctor. We never contacted that doctor again. And I can't remember in that next 2 weeks how many doctor appointments she had or exactly what transpired in that 2 weeks, but it was approximately 2 weeks after we walked out of that abortion clinic that she got to feeling better and was on the path to recovery. And it was still a difficult pregnancy, but it was much safer and better than what the first 6 weeks to 2 months were.
Wow. You know, I don't ever want to speak against the medical profession, but we've heard many, many stories like this where there was a dire diagnosis and then everything was fine. And I think that we've also heard many, many stories of people, whether at a pregnancy resource center or with sidewalk advocacy, getting a message that there is hope. Because I think this is what the problem is that fear dominates. And if the fear can be drained off and hope can be kindled, everything begins to look different. Do you think it's fair to say that there was some hope put into your wife's heart along with those prayers when Chaz made that decision that day, Kirk?
Definitely. It was their prayers that, you know, got this started, and it put the thought in my wife's head to get up and walk out. Their message really helped. And then at that point, even though she struggled with, you know, health for the next few weeks, I think she felt a lot more at ease, wasn't as stressed out about it. She felt a lot calmer because she didn't reverse that decision that she made to terminate the son, and she knew she was going to do her best to, you know, carry that pregnancy.
Hmm. There's a lot of controversy about the use of images of preborn children, whether it would be fetal development or whether it would be images of abortion victims. Can you describe the image that you were shown by the sidewalk advocate?
From what I can remember, it was a photo of a baby inside the womb, not like an ultrasound photo, but like an actual baby photo, like skin, blood, all that is what I remember seeing. I know some folks have said that they had harsh words from people. We were never displayed that type of verbiage or attitude. They were very kind and caring. And I'm not for sure if there were, I don't remember if there was any signs with words or if it was just the photo of the baby. At, you know, 14 years ago is a long time.
Sure. Well, and I think this is, but the reason why I ask is because I think that in your case, you had a wanted pregnancy. It sounds like your wife had already bonded to your son. She already knew it was a son. She already knew that she wanted this son, but she felt like the pregnancy was impossible because this is the advice she was getting, and this is what her body was telling her. And yet somehow seeing that image, I think, is extremely, extremely persuasive. I know that when I saw images of fetal development, and as you say, I think it was really important for me to see a photograph. Sometimes the photographs have been done laparoscopically. There are lots of different technological advances that allow us to see into the womb, and as you say, not as a model, not as an ultrasound, but to see the reality, you know, because it's difficult to imagine it, and it's difficult to picture it. And I know that after abortion, it was very shattering for me even to see pictures of fetal development, because now it was very, very real. I had believed the lie that it was just tissue. I pictured something very different. I did not picture something that's so clearly embodied, literally, in a little body, a human being. And somehow, I don't know if it sparks compassion. I don't know if it just is a wake-up call to our conscience that this would be wrong to harm this person. It's another human being. I don't know what it is about seeing the unborn, but there's something very, very powerful in it, along with the prayers of God's people. Tell me about how your faith developed in the aftermath of all of this, Kirk, because you now are a believer in Christ and a follower.
Thanks, Kim. And when you saw the video where I spoke at St. Mary Magdalene Catholic Church, the message God put on me to share was to show how and why I was a non-believer. I used the same excuse that a lot of people do. If there is a God, why does he let how bad things happen to good people? And God showed me the answer to that with 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 tells us, pray without ceasing, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And what we look at with that is God wants us to thank him in the good times and the bad. If we expect God to keep everything good in our life, then the next question would be, are we truly faithful or do we take God for granted? And so that's what God used to get me to show why these things happen. And then from there, he put forth the message on being a believer, but we had to do more than just believe. And so that video shows the order and how I went from being a non-believer to a believer to a follower of Christ Jesus. It gave me the scripture to, seek God, to honor God, but most importantly, how to trust God. And that's where it took me 13 years. And when, with the struggles that we had with deciding to terminate our son, was really figuring out how to trust God. And God showed me through Job, who lost what Job lost, but he didn't lose his focus. And once that clicked, that is what really lit the fire underneath us to share this message, to, help others that are struggling with the decision to choose life, who have had an abortion and struggle overcoming it. We have a friend that we talked to who just had a miscarriage, and we shared our video with her. Once we figured out how to trust God, it really took a lot of the anger out of our hearts and really have kept us at peace.
Kirk Barker is our guest. We're talking about Cameron's Chance, a ministry that he has to share his story of choosing life even in the face of a medical diagnosis that The pregnancy was life-threatening for his wife. You know, I don't know if you have done the research, and you include this when you speak before groups, Kirk, but as I understand it, doctors will say fewer than 1% of cases actually involve a real threat to the mother's life. Generally, where there's a poor prognosis, it has to do with a fetal abnormality, or it has to do with, in the case of an ectopic pregnancy, that's not really an abortion. What's happening there is we actually do have to treat so that the mother won't die. And if the child's life is taken, that's an unfortunate effect of a life-saving treatment. But ectopic pregnancy really, as far as I know, seems to be about the only circumstance where a woman's life would actually be threatened. Do you have any statistics or any knowledge about how often doctors feel that a pregnancy actually is life-threatening to a woman?
I don't have any of those statistics in front of me. I do remember in our video we made with Texas Right to Life that at the beginning of there, they show that it's less than, I think, a tenth of a percent of these diagnoses that actually the mother's life is in danger, but I don't have the statistics in front of me.
Sure. Well, and I think that, you know, we've all heard stories of women who had that diagnosis, and we've heard stories where tragically the woman has indeed died and saved the life of her child, or, you know, doubly tragically, sometimes both mother and baby will die. But even those stories are stories of victory because, again, as you've said, Kirk, they model for us what it is to truly trust God, the giver of life, and to be able to bravely face whatever God has in store for us and say, you know, I will choose life no matter what, even if my life is at risk. That's an inspiring story. That's a story that brings glory to God. And I thank you that you have been obedient to share your story. And you've built your family. And so tell us a little bit more about your family and what's life like in the Barker household.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, my wife and I have been married. It'll be 14 years, October 5th. We have our son Cameron, who's our firstborn together. He just turned 14, and our daughter Caitlin just, you know, she'll be 13 in March. We got custody of my other daughter a few years back. Her name is Tori, and, you know, bright young lady also. She graduated high school a month after turning 17, completed 2 years of high school, in 1 year, so she could graduate, you know, early. And so we, you know, worked very hard at always bringing up the chance that God has given us and to make sure that we use it, especially for my son. And, you know, my daughter, our oldest daughter is, you know, definitely, you know, pro-life. My son is starting to understand that now that, you know, he understands the story and he could have a very different outcome. So, you know, we're showing him to be grateful and, you know, honor the life that God has given him. And when we speak November 2nd, he's going to be speaking, you know, with me. We'll be at the pro-life group on campus at University of Texas San Antonio, and I'll be sharing the message that you have already seen, and then the next chapter of that. And then after I'm done with that, then my son will be getting up and speaking too. And so we're very thankful for God putting this message on us, and I love seeing that my son wants to, you know, honor God's, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, honor the chance that God has given him, you know, for life, and to make sure he does everything he can to glorify God. You know, for 13 years we sat on the sideline and didn't get involved. We have no way of going back to thank that person. You know, 14 years ago it stood on the sidewalk. So we made a quick post to thank them and others. I'll read that real quick. We will never know your name. You may not even know God placed you there to save our son. 14 years ago, you stood on the sidewalk and prayed for us. It was your prayers that helped save our son. Words can never express our gratitude for what you have done. Let the words of this message be a constant reminder of the great work that you do, to be a reminder that you made a difference. We didn't know who you were, but you cared for us as we were your own. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We are forever grateful. God bless.
Kirk Barker from Cameron's Chance. There's a Facebook page, Cameron's Chance Pro-Life Advocacy, and I hope that you will get many, many more chances to share the story. It's a beautiful one. Thank you, Cameron. Or thank you to Cameron, to you and Chaz, too. Kirk, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Kim. Have a blessed day.
And now stay with us. Coming up here on Faith Radio, we'll open up the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us here at Cradle My Heart. And we are live on this Sunday evening, the 2nd of October, October the 2th. And the phones are open for you at 1-800-811-3003. And I want to hear your story. If you're inspired by Kirk Barker's amazing story of stepping out in faith and finding faith at the same time that he and his wife stepped out in the face of a terrible, tragic diagnosis, if you're inspired by that story, do you have a similar story you can share with us? 1-800-811-3003. I mean, have you ever faced terrible or even tragic news where you were still able to hold on to your trust in God? Or, like Kirk, has God ever broken through in the face of terrible news to invite you to trust for the first time? And then what happened next? I think these stories really encourage us. And I think that they happen to us for the benefit of others so that we can share them. I mean, what happened next? What was God's plan in that terrible news for you? 1-800-811-3003. Tonight's pro-life resource for our callers is the Hope in the Morning Bible by Zondervan. I'm a contributor to the commentaries in the Bible, and there are some wonderful, wonderful writers that have written commentaries for all sorts of grief and loss issues, because it extends well beyond simply saying this is for the death of a loved one. I mean, that is one of the deepest griefs that any of us can ever suffer. But there are many other types of losses and griefs that are dealt with in this really encouraging volume, Hope in the Morning Bible. 1-800-811-3003 is our gift to you tonight with your question or comment here at Cradle My Heart Radio. And I'd like to start it off with your stories. Did you ever get terrible news like the Barkers, where a doctor told you, maybe it had to do with a pregnancy, but maybe something else, where a doctor said, you're going to have to make a choice that no one should ever have to make, but you're going to have to end this pregnancy or it's going to cost you your life? And how did you, what happened in your relationship with God in the face of that? Would love to hear how that unfolded for you if you've ever experienced anything like that. 1-800-811-3003. It's not happened to me personally, but I went and spoke to the students at New Life Academy last week in Woodbury, Minnesota, and it was a great group of students. They were very, very attentive. They very much held on as we talked about the case for life from science, the case for life from philosophy, answering the questions, when does life begin? When does life have value? What does the Bible say about abortion? And what is the case for life from logic, which very simply is this, and you can memorize this right now. The case from logic is simply this. Abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being. It is wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. Therefore, abortion is wrong. And even if someone is a moral relativist, even if someone doesn't believe in absolute truth, it's pretty hard to argue with that logic. Sometimes people will not agree that it is wrong to kill an innocent human being because they'll say, well, their life doesn't have value until they can think or until they can feel or until 20 weeks development or some arbitrary marker that people will lay down. But that's the case from logic. Anyway, the students really stayed with it, and we had a Q&A afterwards, and one of the questions, which I hadn't dealt with directly, was, well, what about cases like the Zika virus? What about cases where we know that there's going to be a terrible fetal abnormality? Sometimes you'll even hear that the obstetrician will say, this pregnancy is incompatible with life. That's a phrase that they use. And I had to talk with the students about the fact that this is our opportunity and invitation to trust God when we hear something like this. And so we talked about the ethics of choice. We talked about trying to short-circuit pain and suffering by making a decision instead of seeing what God has in store for us in the midst of suffering. And I told them the story of young Jackson, and I've shared this story on this program before, but every time this issue comes up, I think it's really worth revisiting his short life. He was grandson of a very good friend of mine, and a prayer partner, in fact, and they knew something was wrong about midway through the pregnancy. And the doctors did give Jackson's mother that option, and she rejected abortion immediately. She said, I am going to fight for him, and I am going to accept whatever God has for me with this child, with this pregnancy. And the news kept getting worse as the pregnancy progressed. And yes, her life was also called into question. You know, was this safe for her to fight for Jackson in that way? Was this going to be safe for the doctors to allow her to do that, so to speak? She did. He was born. He lived 9 hours. So sad, so tragic. How do you bear such a loss? But the thing that so struck me that was inescapable was that at Jackson's funeral, it was a very small church, a little country church in Georgia. And the same day that the funeral was held for Jackson, there was a funeral for a woman who had lived 100 years, exactly 100 years. And nobody at either of those funerals could escape the fact that in God's economy, Jackson's life is equal to the woman who lived 100 years. Equally valuable, equally miraculous and mysterious. There's something we cannot really even fathom in our human understanding. 1-800-811-3003. And I shared with her that I had that young Jackson's life had blessed the high school students in Minnesota, you know, 1,000 miles away from where Jackson is resting in the cemetery until his loved ones get to see him in heaven. And, you know, it brought a tear to both of our eyes to think about missing him once more. But so much glory for God in the midst of that story. Did you have horrible news and yet you trusted in God? Maybe there was a happy outcome. Maybe, like the story we just heard from Kirk Barker, the doctors were wrong or things turned around. The diagnosis improved. The prognosis improved. What's your story? 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. Kim Cotola is my name. I'm so glad to have you listening. You can go to our website at cradlemyheart.org. There are a couple of stories that we did in the last, within the last year, certainly. One was on the group that does perinatal hospice and had a link to the Today Show's doctor's moving letter to a parent who's ever lost a baby, written by Dr. Karen Johnson. We may get into that if we have time tonight, because that is so comforting. And really, at the heart of the comfort of this letter is the reality that, let's just read a little bit of it. We've got some time as you are getting to the phones, and our pro-life resource tonight is Hope in the Morning Bible by Zondervan for our callers at 1-800-811-3003 when you make a comment, when you join us on the air with your question or comment. So Dr. Karen Johnson's moving letter to a parent who's lost a baby. She says, as a neonatologist, I care for the sickest babies in the hospital. And this is a letter to the parents that no one wants to talk about. The parents that never get to send out birth announcements. The parents that never get that first smile or first step. The parents that say goodbye when they should be saying hello. I wrote this letter for you. It all starts when you find out you're going to have a child. You're going to be a mom. You're going to be a dad. You make that first doctor appointment, and all you can dream about is that first sonogram and hearing that first heartbeat. You wonder who your child will look like, what their personality will be. You never imagine that you will never know. And then you get a phone call that brings you to your knees. You hold onto the hope that maybe the tests are wrong. And that hope gets you through the myriad of consults with genetics counselors and maternal fetal medicine specialists, cardiologists, neurologists, surgeons. Hope that you continue to cling to, hoping beyond hope that maybe, just maybe, these tests will prove that your baby is healthy. The answer is no. Your baby will not live a long or a healthy life. And now you lie awake at night wondering, what do we do now? You wonder, why did this happen? And what did I do wrong? The answer, the doctor says, is you didn't do anything wrong. And we're here to help. And I would say the same is true of us here at Faith Radio on this radio station. She goes on to say, you were dealt the toughest hand in this life, and it's a hard, long road that you're about to walk, but we are here to support you. I have made it my life's mission, she writes. My job doesn't stop when the bad news comes. No matter how long your child lives, every baby is loved. We discuss how to make your child comfortable and how to keep your family together from the first breath to the last. We develop a plan for feeding and to care for all aspects of your child's life, and in doing so, know how much your child is loved. We work with our child life specialist to develop legacy items, pictures, videos, foot and handprint molds. While your precious one may not stay with us in body, we work to make sure you have as many lasting memories as possible, and we also offer resources for your family to bring your child into your faith. She writes, we honor your role as parents, the role this new child holds in your family, for however short or long. And as you say goodbye to your precious little one, we hope you remember that you honored this new life and that legacy of love will live on. This child will always be yours and you will always be a parent. That's on the Today Show's website. And we've got it linked at cradlemyheart.org, written by Dr. Karen Johnson, a doctor's moving letter to any parent who's ever lost a baby. You know, some of the truths that emerge from that letter are true even after the abortion decision, even though it was a decision that led to that loss. Because what she has said is also true, the final words of her letter, that you are a parent. And there is hope for that grief, because it doesn't matter if you made the decision. God is even bigger than our decisions, and he is certainly bigger than our mistakes and our sins. So do you have a story of overcoming? Have you faced a terrible or tragic piece of news when you held on and trusted God, and then what was God's plan? How was that revealed to you? Call and share your story, will you? We'll give you a couple of minutes to get to the phone here with this break. And here's the number once more at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Phones are open and we are here for you and would like to give you a chance to share a testimony, share a story of trusting God, hoping against hope. Maybe there was a happy outcome. Maybe things did not go as you would have wished or as you had hoped and planned. But maybe you learned God's plan and maybe your trust was strengthened. 1-800-811-3003. Would love to give you a chance to share that story. You know, in my morning reading today, what part of the meditation was the words of Jesus in Mark 8:21, and I have always been so challenged by this passage. He had fed the 4,000. They get back in the boat, and they only had a loaf of bread. Okay, so he had fed the 4,000. They get back in the boat, and they discover we've only got one loaf of bread. So they're talking about it, and at that point, Jesus says, be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. And aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? And every time I read the second time that he asked them, do you still not understand? I'm tempted to say, no, I still really don't. And I feel really, it's so elusive. It's just outside my grasp to understand the grace of Jesus and how when he gives to us, what is required of us is that we would trust. And I think that's what is being called for in the midst of these impossible situations that we find ourselves in, generally, over medical situations in our world. Because we're not lacking for food. Even no matter where you are, we could all drive and get 5,000 loaves of bread, couldn't we? Almost, doesn't it seem that way? Just about anywhere you are in America, we have the means to feed a crowd. Food just doesn't seem to be the area where we need the miracle. But boy, when we hear medical things that feel so out of control, we start to really forget. And though I don't fully understand the grace of Christ, I do know what he was saying when he said, do you still not see? Don't you remember? Because if I start to remember the times that things happened in my life that only God could have done for me, then I'd have to say that not trusting Jesus in the future would mean that I was blind, that I couldn't hear, that my heart was hardened. Has an extraordinary amount of trust been asked of you by our Lord? 1-800-811-3003. And I start thinking about the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod, and I looked up the cross references, and there are words in there about hypocrisy, and there are words in there about false faith, like Herod demonstrated. This yeast is something that Jesus wants us to understand, trusting self instead of God, I think. Self-justification, compliance with the law versus accepting the free grace from Christ. It's sometimes really hard to accept grace. That's what Peter found out that night when Jesus washed his feet, isn't it? It's sometimes really hard to accept God's grace. 1-800-811-3003. And it looks like we have a caller ready to go. Not quite. All right, well, we do offer tonight a pro-life resource, the Zondervan Hope in the Morning Bible, which has commentaries on all sorts of life challenges, including grief over the death of a loved one. But yes, how to face a critical diagnosis, how to face any type of loss, anything that would lead to a grief reaction and that might call for greater faith. 1-800-811-3003. It's our joy to share that with you. And you can, if you're unable to get to a phone, go to cradlemyheart.org and use the contact form to send us an email. We'll try and check that before the program's over as well. But we'd love to hear your voice on the air too. All right, so let's go to the phones and say hi to Amy. Amy's listening in Wisconsin. Hi, Amy. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks so much for being willing to share your story. Tell me about trusting God.
Oh, absolutely. With my second daughter, I was told that there was a probability that she had Down syndrome and would be born with that disability. And of course, so I had to go through an amnio to verify it. And in the meantime, first of all, that week was a lot of turning, a lot of praying, a lot of trusting to God. But in the meantime, while I was waiting for the results, my older daughter was in elementary school. And I had met with a special ed teacher, and she allowed me to go in several times that week and observe the children with mental and physical handicaps. And not only did I feel like my insight and not only did my trust and strength grow in the Lord that week, but also gave me huge insight, to the people with special handicaps and gave me a very special place in my heart, for the disabled. And thank the Lord that at the time that amnio results came back that she was perfectly healthy and she was born perfectly healthy and no real issues at all.
Had the doctors recommended to you that you would abort, or did they have, were they just presenting this prognosis, or did you feel that there was pressure? I know it's so many times when I hear from family.
There wasn't.
Go ahead. I was going to say, often when we hear from families, we hear that there was a lot of pressure to terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah, thankfully there was, I wouldn't call it pressure, but there was asked to give consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I had gone to my daughter's school to observe.
Sure.
The children with mental and physical handicaps. And had I, I can't say what my decision would have been. I know it most likely, depending on how the severity of her health and what she would have to go through to maintain that, had it just come back down syndrome, like they were saying, there's no chance ever that I would have aborted because of that, ever. After observing these children, the sweetest, kindest, most beautiful smiles on their faces, and happy children. And like I said, had I not observed that, I wonder, like I said, I don't think I would have, but that just ensured more the fact that never would I be if she was Down syndrome.
Wow, so...
Because once I saw, and like I said, it just gave me a very very clear insight and a very special place in my heart for
people
and children with mental.
It sounded like God, it just ignited a love in your heart that just hadn't been there before at all.
He did, and You know, unfortunately, there was a time in the last couple of years that I did get away from my walk with the Lord. You know, but I've recently gotten back because of Faith Radio and encouraged me to find a church again and to join Bible studies and whatnot. And, you know, like there's a special event that our church holds, and it's for the mental and physically handicapped, anywhere from teenagers to young adults. We put on a prom. We call it like a prom for them.
Awesome.
And, you know, because of my special place and because I felt, you know, so comfortable and whatnot, you know, I'm able to volunteer and be a host to one of the honored guests, you know, because there are a lot of people that aren't comfortable around people with physical and mental handicaps because they don't understand them.
Oh, well,
you know, they haven't had a chance to really observe it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. We're just about out of time, but I do want to thank you for sharing your story because you've inspired us, and welcome back to the church. You know,
God is so patient,
isn't he? It's a good thing.
Oh, he is. He is very, very patient.
All right, hang on, and so we can get your address to send you the Bible. And thank you so much. It's a great testimony. You know, sometimes that's all that's needed is just a little more love. Just a little more love. Thanks for being with us tonight. Find out more about the resources available at cradlemyheart.org and plan to join us next week. We'll be here. Remember, Jesus loves you and so do we. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.